gratitude and anxiety cannot exist in the brain at the same time. So right now we're in a season of joy and a season of celebration, but I also know that so many are walking through hardships that feel like they just can't get over. I'm telling you right now, when you don't know what to do, begin to worship. Do not let your worry be louder than your worship. When you don't know what to do, open your mouth and begin to praise. Open your mouth and begin to declare it good. Yes. You realize this has nothing to do with how you feel in the moment. Our God is not dependent on our feelings. Our God is who He is, regardless of how we feel. Yeah. He's always good. Oh, if you've got some anxiety in here, just open your mouth and begin to declare that. Declare that.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Easter. We want to welcome everyone here to South Bay Bible Church. We're so glad that on Resurrection Sunday. We want to welcome everyone who's here with us in the room today. We want to welcome everybody who tuned in with us on the live stream. And we especially want to welcome all of our first-time guests. What a joy it is that all of our regular attenders have invited their friends and family and that you're all here with us today. It is such a joy to have you here. And if you are new with us for the first time, we hope you've received your welcome gift on the way in from one of our greeters. If you haven't yet, we want to ask you to make sure that you do receive one on your way out today. But hey, if you have been here for a couple of weeks and you've already received that welcome packet, we want to remind you about the Stay in the Know card. That's the way that we get your information, like your phone number, email address, your home address, so that we can send you some postcards and information about all the things that are coming up around here. We would love to stay connected with you. I want to invite you to take out the bulletin that you received on your way in today. It looks just like this. On the inside front cover, you'll see our order of service for today. On the inside back cover, you'll notice some announcements. And inside, you'll see our sermon notes, which has all of our scripture references and quotes and space for you to write down anything that just captures your mind and your heart today. You can follow along with us on there. And I do have some special announcements for you today. The first is our new Starting Point group is coming up on Monday, April 24th at 7 p.m. So if you're not already connected with the community group, this is a fantastic 8-week group and we would love to have you join us. It's for anybody who is curious about God, who has a new relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've been away from the church for a while and you're just coming back and you want a safe place to bring your questions. Join us. You can register by April 17th at southbaystartingpoint.com. I also want to let you know that our free Revelation fitness classes are returning here to South Bay. I'll be leading these fitness classes in the fellowship tent on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. starting April 15th. It'll be a wide variety of fitness styles, and it is for all ages, all fitness levels, all abilities. And again, they are no charge. Just come on in, bring your good body. It's going to be a good time. Now, would you please stand and worship our risen King with us together?
Many of you are excited to join that workout class. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, happy Easter to you guys. The Lord is risen. Amen? Amen. Hey, I'm so glad to have you here in the room. It's so good to see so many familiar faces, some of our CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. We're glad you're here today. Amen. Hey, just for those of you in the room, I'm just so glad you're here. But I also want to make sure I give a special welcome to those of you who are watching online this morning. Can we just say hello to everybody watching online? I've been praying all morning, all week actually, that the Lord would just do something really unique in this service this morning. And I hope you're coming with anticipation for what the Lord wants to do in this space today. Can we all just get quiet before the Lord? Why don't we all just take a deep breath in? I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know what your year's been like, but right now, for this next hour or so, we're going to just sit in the presence of the Lord. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is raised. He is risen, alive and active, powerful and victorious, high King of heaven and earth. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you that you're for us, not against us. And that because Jesus has come and died and has lived, is raised to life, that we now have life, joy, and peace. Give us your presence today, Lord. Lord, we come in with all kinds of baggage and anxiety and weakness and shame and all these things, Lord. And today is the day that, Lord, you can make us new. You can give us life. You can encourage our weary souls. Would you do that today, Lord? Thank you, God. I just want to read a portion of Psalm 118 over us as we come into worship and singing. Psalm 118, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Would you say that with me? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, this is your morning, a beautiful Easter morning that we get to be in this house. God, lead the way this morning by your Spirit. Help us to sing. Help us to understand your word and to live here in community together. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's worship together. My name is Matt, and I'm the lead pastor here at South Bay, and I just get the privilege each and every week of being able to open up the scriptures for us this morning. So I hope you came ready to receive this morning. Why don't we go ahead and grab our Bibles? If you don't have a Bible with you, we have one for you underneath your seats. You're welcome to use those today. And if you don't have a Bible at home, those are completely free. We love to give those to you and take those home with you. But let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, that'll be page 946 in your church Bibles. You're there, say there.
There.
Great. Great. Well, let's go ahead and look in our Bibles. We're going to, again, if you're a regular attender around here, you'll know this is a little different, but I just want to start with the scripture this morning. So, Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. Let's try that again. Bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on, the first day of the week, there's a phone ringing. Okay. I don't want us to miss this, so I'm going to wait. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Just over a decade ago, a man named Bill Maris decided to build a company that cured death. As you can probably imagine, some people sneered at him, but there were others who actually pulled out their wallet. Maris was the founder of Google Ventures, or what it's more simply called now, GV. And it's basically an investment company that provides seed, venture, and growth stage funding. But now, he had a dream of surpassing death and plenty of funding. So in 2013, he and some other business partners launched Calico. Calico started with $1 billion in funding solely for the purpose of transcending death and preserving consciousness. Maris also had a good friend named Ray Kurzweil. Kurzweil was a futurist who popularized the idea of humans merging with artificial intelligence to transcend biological limitations. Kurzweil believes that by the time another decade passes, from this point forward, we'll be injecting nanobots into our bodies to repair our mortality and to make us as smart as the gods. Then there was also Brian Hanley, a microbiologist who injected himself with a growth hormone, which gave him increased strength and sharper eyesight and better cholesterol levels. But unfortunately, I think that growth hormone must have gone to his head because Hanley herniated a disc when he tried to lift a refrigerator. Nevertheless, very smart people have tried to surpass their own death and mortality. And hey, if you've got the time and the money and the research to at least attempt to do it, why wouldn't they? Who wouldn't want to live forever if they had the opportunity? Why wouldn't you want to try and surpass the only thing which is absolutely guaranteed for every single person? Sadly, as you know, they've been unsuccessful in their endeavor thus far. And that isn't because they haven't had enough time to figure it out. And it isn't even because of a lack of funding or research. Truthfully, their investment shows just how dead serious they really are about this. Ha ha, you can laugh at that. No, these various researchers have failed to transcend death for two very important reasons, reasons which I think you should give some attention to this morning. Just be patient with me, these may take a minute. The first reason is because they miss the real cause of death. Death has little to do with aging or illness. Young, healthy people die every day. It also has very little to do with outside circumstances. Sometimes people just go to sleep and they never wake up in the morning with little to no explanation why. There are various elements which speed up the process in some ways. But the real cause of death, which is common to every person in this room and every person watching online this morning, is this single word. And it starts with an S, the three-letter one. What do you think it is? Sin. It's a dirty word these days. You can't talk about the topic of sin for more than a few minutes outside of these walls, or else you'll be in trouble. But here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Whether we talk about it out loud or not, you and I both know you are, in fact, a sinner. You don't need me or any other preacher to get up here and tell you this morning that you're a sinner. You've chased your own desires at the expense of other people. You've lied, stolen, cheated, cursed others, cursed God. Now, don't worry. You're in the company of a lot of sinners this morning. And not a single one of us are going to be surprised that you're a sinner too. It only takes about a second to realize that you're a sinner, and really about a day to realize everybody else is a sinner too, including the preacher who's talking to you right now. You've seen families ruined. You've seen government leaders take what doesn't belong to them. You've seen communities destroyed. You've seen your loved ones die. Why? Sin. And let me just take a step back and say this. It wasn't always meant to be this way. If I could just sum up the first few pages of that divine story in the book in your lap, I would tell you that initially we were all supposed to live forever. Death was not originally a part of God's good creation. And no matter what you believe about the timing or how it all unfolded, the direly important part of the story is that God made the heavens and the earth and everything in between. Birds, fish, land, sea, and yes, you and me too, came from God. I know I look like a monkey, but I didn't come from one. God made the first humans by breathing life into dirt. The story tells us about Adam and Eve, who were created by God to live in perfect, eternal communion with God while they enjoyed and worked with His good creation. Although they had everything that they could ever want or need in God's creation around them, they took for themselves the one thing which God had forbidden them to take. They sinned against their generous, loving, caring, protecting Creator. And because they did what was not right to do, they couldn't stay in that same union with a perfectly righteous God like they had before. And so there's now a heavy disunity between God and humanity, and not only that, but also between the humans, one to another. They couldn't even enjoy God's good creation in the right way anymore. But on top of all of that, and this is why I bring this up, is because evil, when that had entered into the world, now death also entered in. Because of sin, death is inevitable. In fact, they should just write that on the cause of death line of every death certificate: sin. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." Why do I bring this up? Because the reality is, these men who are much smarter and much richer than I will ever be, hello, they're going to have a much bigger problem to solve than aging. And because they missed the real cause of death, you can also assume that they missed the real solution for death. They believe if they had enough funding or the right partnership or a new discovery in science, that they might be able to transcend death. But those are all the wrong solutions. The solution to getting past death is not found in a research book or in a laboratory. The solution to death is found in a person, or so we believe. Specifically, a person with a very targeted mission that's given by God himself to come and redeem and restore a dying humanity that God so loves. We believe that person to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God in skin and bone. The scriptures tell us that he was born of a virgin, lived and performed various miracles, and instructed others with wisdom as a Jewish rabbi, but that wasn't his main purpose for coming to the earth. You see, Jesus, he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies, proving to be the Savior, and that humanity, the Jewish people especially, had long waited for. And on the weekend of the Jewish Passover, Jesus died by Roman crucifixion, giving himself on a wooden cross outside the city walls. We talked about this very heavily on Friday night if you were here. What a great service, by the way. Amen? From the cross, he shouted, "It is finished," to declare that humanity's common enemy, sin, is now defeated. But then, after Jesus had breathed his last breath and was laid in a tomb, Jesus walks out of his grave. He walks out of his grave. I assume that's why you're all here today. You've heard that Jesus is alive, or maybe you're here to test the waters. Maybe you're here to determine for yourself if Jesus is actually alive. Here's what I'll say if that's you. There are many reasons to believe the resurrection. And one major issue if you don't. So much evidence has been given to defend the testimony of the scriptures about the resurrection and the resurrection event itself. All the while, many of the common arguments against the resurrection are still brought up in conversations with skeptics, even though they have already been refuted. If Jesus had not resurrected, you likely would have never heard his name again. Yet, he is still the most talked about person in all of history. More importantly, if Jesus had no resurrection, then you'd have to find a substantial reason for why a bunch of Jewish men and women decided to launch the Christian church, which grew by thousands virtually overnight. Apart from this particular event, there is no Christianity. There is no Christian belief or Christian church. How many people would have to keep the secret? How many people would have to be paid off to keep from letting out that the resurrection was a sham? This whole thing didn't just come together 200 years ago as a social experiment. The testimonies, biblical manuscripts, even non-biblical acclaimed historical documents describing early beginnings of the New Testament church go thousands of years back, and they talk about this event, the resurrection of Jesus. Certainly, there are many reasons to believe the resurrection account is true. However, on the off chance that this event didn't happen, there is, at that point, a giant, and I mean giant, elephant in the room. And it isn't just awkward, it's fatal. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:17. He says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." Just let me read that again. Sit with the weight of that. If Christ has not been raised, your faith, our faith, is futile. It's worthless. And you, every one of you, myself included, we are still in our sins. In other words, if Jesus is not raised, then you have no hope for anything greater than this life and the world that you currently live in. And not only that, but you are still condemned for all the wrong that you've ever done in your life. Maybe you're thinking, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought the cross was where Jesus forgave my sin. Well, it was. But if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then Jesus was only a man, meaning he has no authority to forgive your sins, cross or no cross. To put it simply, the cross was where the claim was made for your forgiveness. But the empty tomb was where it was confirmed. If Jesus Christ is dead, then you have no hope. You are condemned. You will suffer. And we might as well just close up shop. Let me let you in on a little secret this morning. Jesus' closest disciples had those same thoughts running through their head on that morning. We have no hope. We might as well give it up. Our so-called Savior is dead. You know, some skeptics have attempted to blame the resurrection on the wishful thinking of the disciples, but it becomes apparent. I mean, it only takes one read through the four gospel accounts about the resurrection to realize that these students of Jesus were not expecting of anything other than public humiliation. For the disciples, in those moments following Jesus' death, Jesus was now just an old friend or a wise teacher at best. However, while many of Jesus' followers were hiding and lamenting in the upper room, a few of them determined that at the very least, they could take care of Jesus' deceased body. And that's where we enter into the story this morning in Mark 16. And we'll look at the story in three parts. Beginning with part one, a shocking turn of events. The Jewish Sabbath was a day of rest, which began on Friday at sundown and continued until the sun went down on Saturday. And on that day, the Jewish people didn't do anything at all. And I'm not talking about just not working. On Sabbath, you didn't cook meals for your family. You didn't wash your laundry. And you certainly didn't go anywhere near the dead. No one was going to the tomb until at least Saturday evening. But by that time, it was just much too dark to really do anything. And so very early on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, a few of Jesus' female followers were going down to the tomb. The fact that they were female is a great support for why the story must be true. If you wanted to make up a story that would be believable, especially in a court of law, you would have put men at the front of the story in that day, not women. But because the story is true, all the gospel writers consistently have the account that it was women who first went down to the tomb. These women had bought spices to anoint Jesus' body. The Jewish people didn't embalm dead bodies. And so by this time, Jesus would have had quite a stench. And the devoted ladies were hoping to cover up the smell a bit. Again, the fact that they bought spices is further proof that they were not looking for a resurrected Jesus. They very much expected on that Sunday morning when they went to the tomb that Jesus would still be dead and he'd probably smell a bit too. And so, as the sun was just beginning to rise, they began their journey toward the tomb for the first time since he was buried on Friday afternoon. And as they were headed there, they were asking this question: who will roll away the stone for us in the entrance of the tomb? And most of the tombs at this time were really just caves that were kind of in the side of a mountain. And there was also a large, very heavy stone that sat on a groove in front of the opening of the cave. Now, usually the groove kind of went downward. So the door is down here, the stone starts up here, and then it's rolled down, and it's in front of the door. Now, nobody was going to be pushing it back up out of the way. It's just much too heavy. Mark intentionally and repeatedly emphasizes the heaviness of this stone, the size of the stone, so that no one would assume that Jesus' body must have been stolen. Besides, we know from Matthew's account of the resurrection that the Roman soldiers also sealed the tomb and put soldiers out in front to guard Jesus' body. No one was getting inside of this tomb, which was a good thing most of the time, except for now when these ladies wanted to go and anoint his dead body. However, when the ladies arrive at the tomb, they come across something very unusual. The stone was rolled back. What's going on? Well, to be clear, it isn't that Jesus' body was stolen. That's already been deemed impossible. And it isn't even because Jesus needed to get out. Jesus in his resurrected body walked through walls and doors and all kinds of stuff. So then it becomes obvious that the stone wasn't rolled back for Jesus to get out, but for the women to come in. Jesus wanted them to come and see that he is no longer there. And we read this in the second part of the story, when the angel tells all. When the women ran up to the now opened tomb, they see a young man dressed in white. Now, of course, that scared them, as it would probably scare you and I. But they must have realized at some point that this was an angel. If you're familiar with the resurrection accounts, this might seem like a contradiction, because Luke and John, they talk about two angels. Matthew and Mark, they talk about one angel. There were probably two angels at the scene, because Jewish law required two witnesses. That said, we can assume that Matthew and Mark only mention one angel because only one spoke. But it really doesn't matter much who spoke. It matters what they spoke. The angel begins, he says, "Do not be alarmed." In other words, don't be afraid. Now, there are hundreds of times in Scripture when we read, "Do not be afraid," but it's this specific occasion where we learn why we should never be afraid from this point forward. He says, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he's risen. He's not here anymore. Come, see the place where they laid him." The angel is declaring to the women that, yes, he was crucified, but now he's alive. Jesus came through on his word. He is who he said he is. He's done what he said he would do. Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. This is the good news. He died, he was buried, and he's alive again. Jesus is truly the Lord of all and Lord over all. And so nothing could come against or stop Jesus, not even death. So if Jesus reigns victorious over death, then what doesn't he have the victory over? This angel just preached to these women the two central elements of the gospel: Jesus died and he was raised. But what does that mean for anybody other than Jesus? Furthermore, why would that make any difference for you and me today in East Mauritius? I believe this is what is revealed in the angel's instruction in part 3, the really good news. Just as soon as the angel invites the ladies to come and see, he now instructs them to go tell. But look at what he actually says in Mark chapter 16, verse 7. If you still have your Bibles open, look at verse 7 with me. The angel says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter." Tell his disciples and Peter. That seems a bit redundant, doesn't it? You might even say it was strange to say it this way. Why did the angel say, tell his disciples and Peter? I'll tell you why. When most of us think of Peter, we think of the bold apostle who started the church and wrote scripture, but that was just a small part of Peter's story. When Jesus was around, Peter was actually more of a hard-headed, undisciplined, emotion-driven, prone-to-wonder kind of guy. Maybe you can relate. Peter did some pretty dumb stuff when he was with Jesus. But on the day that Jesus was going to die by Roman crucifixion, Peter got himself in some ugly, shameful, disgusting sin. I'm not talking about stealing a little girl's lunchbox. It's not even taking a sword and murdering someone on the street. We're talking about something much, a much bigger deal, because it was directly against Jesus himself. On 3 separate occasions that weekend, Peter denied that he knew Jesus and therefore undermined anything that he had said about Jesus or to Jesus prior to that moment. Peter did what he swore he would never do. Peter did the one thing that was beyond even his capacity to think he could ever do. So much so that none of the other disciples would have believed it if you told them. But Jesus knew it. In fact, he predicted it would happen. Peter's really done it now. And now Jesus has died, and Peter is deeply ashamed for what he's done. Get this. This is the most important thing I'm going to say today. So let's look up from our notes, put your phone away, just right here. There was a very large barrier that was laying between the ladies and Jesus, separating them in the beginning of this story. And in a spiritual sense, there was a very large barrier which separated Peter from Jesus, namely his sin. Even if Jesus died on the cross to cover that very large sin that Peter had committed, it wouldn't have been confirmed until Jesus came up out of his grave. Or if I can just put it a little simpler, if Christ was not raised, Peter would have been left in his sins and certainly would have been condemned for it. But Jesus Christ was raised, which means that he is truly God in flesh. And because of that, Jesus has the authority and power to not only forgive Peter, but also to restore him. In other words, Jesus told the angel to tell the ladies, to tell Peter, that the same one who has the power over life and death also has the power to redeem and deliver Peter from his past sins, no matter how large they may be. In the moment of his greatest guilt and shame, Peter could have the hope of his own personal redemption because of the resurrected Christ. But the implications of Jesus Christ coming out of his grave with mercy on his heart goes far beyond Peter. Are you ready for this? The risen Jesus guarantees mercy for you too. The heavy stone of sin which separated us from Jesus has been rolled away. Because of the resurrection, because Christ died and was raised, even our worst sins can be forgiven, and the guiltiest person in this room right now can be restored. The same Jesus who has power to come out of his grave also has the power to forgive and heal and deliver and save and comfort. He is truly God, truly good, and truly able to give you a new story today. And that, don't miss this, don't miss this. That should move us to repentance. Another dirty word. That we would change our mind about our sin and our own self-lordship and the way that, you know, we do our thing however we want, whenever we want, and we are our own God. That we change our mind about all that. And that we instead entrust ourselves to Jesus, who loved us and died and was raised on our behalf. That we would believe with faith that he came and died for us, and he was raised for us. And that it was also, just like those ladies at the empty tomb who were walking away, that it would move us to worship. And I'm not talking about song singing. Jesus isn't looking for a choir. He's looking for a church. I'm talking about awe and surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is not dead. Jesus is risen and alive, and he lives to rewrite your past, present, and future, even your future after death. You, every single one of you can have a new hope and a new life in the risen Jesus today, too. Come and see. Come and know the all-powerful, living, risen Jesus today. There's nothing left to fear. There's no reason to hide. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Just come quietly before the Lord. God, today we heard the hope that we can have in the resurrected Christ, who is living, powerful, victorious, who has defeated sin and death and the grip that they have on us, and who can renew and restore us in the very moment that we come in repentance and faith. It's that simple. Help us, God, to recognize our own insufficiency to save ourselves. And God, turn our eyes, not our physical eyes, our spiritual eyes, toward the beauty and majesty and the full sufficiency of the risen Christ. Holy Spirit, you and your word convict us of sin. Lord, today in your word, you have opened us up to the reality of our own depravity. So God, would you by your Spirit make us alive? It's not about good people, bad people becoming good people. It's about dead people coming to life. Make us alive, Lord, and you, alive to righteousness. We love you, Lord. And God, I'm trusting that your word does not return void, that your word, which was sent today, will fulfill every single purpose that God, you sent it for. Save the lost today, Lord. Encourage the faint-hearted. Provide where there is need. And bring the dead to life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All our hope is in you. All our trust, all our peace, all our joy, Lord, is in you, the risen Jesus. We can trust, Lord, that even if we don't know what tomorrow holds, we know who holds tomorrow. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Why don't we stand and sing together? Again, I'm so glad that you were here with us today, this Easter morning. Early service, and this is packed. I'm excited to see what the 11 o'clock looks like. Might have to get the folded chairs. But hey, so glad you're here. And of course, again, to those of you watching online with us today, I'm so thankful that you could join us from all over the world today, wherever you're at. So I pray the Lord bless you in today's gathering. Hey, just as we begin to end the service, we believe here at South Bay that a part of our worship to the Lord, as He has instructed us to do, is to bless His church with a portion of what He has so richly blessed us with. And this is not going in my wallet. This is going to a ton of ministry that we do outside of these four walls, where we get to bless so many local neighborhoods in our area, and to just encourage them with the love of Jesus. And so I want to invite you, as you're headed out the doors today, our ushers will be standing there with baskets. If you feel led to give, you're more than welcome to drop something in the basket. That said, for those of you who are with us today as a guest, there is no pressure for you at all to give. Nobody's going to look at you funny. This is for those of us who call South Bay home. And so, again, thank you for coming. If today was the day, I mean, we really pressed into the good news of Jesus today. If today was the day that you want to place your faith and trust in the risen Jesus, that you want to entrust your life over to Him, there's a connect card in the seats in front of you. If you would just put your name at the top of that card, there's a little circle that you can check off. that says, I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus today. And I'm not going to embarrass you or call you up front. I just want to pray for you and be available to you. And I want to send you some resources for growing in your faith in Jesus. Just as one final thing before we have our benediction. We have fellowship out in the tent. There's basically a circus tent out back around the corner. You just follow the ramp down. There's a full breakfast out there. It's completely free. We'd love to have you come and join us, sit around the table, have some bagels and donuts and coffee and fresh fruit and some other things this morning. I hear they've got it decorated very, very well in there this morning for Easter. Why don't you come out there and join us after this service and just sit around the table and enjoy some breakfast on us. But for now, we're going to have our benediction, which is just our closing prayer. And if you feel comfortable, just as a way of bringing our body into prayer, we're going to put our hands out in a posture of openness before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you, God, for what you've done in this room today, for giving us your presence, Lord. Lord, we thank you for every single person who was able to join us, whether here in the room or watching online. And God, I pray that whether we see them next week or next year, God, that you would continue to bless them and keep them. That you would shine your face down on them, Lord. And that you would give them your peace. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You may go in peace.
Because he lives.